The subject of this presentation is public service broadcasting. Most countries have a public service broadcaster which is in some way supported by the government. The concept of public service broadcasting is for many people summed up by the mission given to the BBC by its first director general, John Reith, in the 1920s, to inform, educate, and entertain. This broad statement encompasses several elements, some clearly appealing to viewers themselves, to entertain, others with wider social purposes, to educate and inform. The aims of public service broadcasting would therefore appear to encompass two main strands: that television should give people the programs they want to watch, and that it should also satisfy wider social purposes such as education and the promotion of citizenship. Reflecting these strands, in this chapter, we discuss two broad questions concerning the provision of television broadcasting. Will the television broadcasting market give people what they want to watch? Secondly, should people be allowed to watch only what they want to watch? The first question investigates the traditional market failure arguments for public intervention in broadcasting. These hold that the commercial broadcasting market will fail to meet viewers' demands in a number of important respects. Advertising-funded broadcasters will produce a bland diet of low-quality programs appealing to mass, government tastes, and ignoring niche interests. We explore the basis for these arguments by assessing market provision of television broadcasting. Specifically, we, or the UK government, has suggested expanding the BBC's mission statement with five distinctive purposes: sustaining citizenship and civil society, promoting education and learning, stimulating creativity and cultural excellence, representing the UK, its nations, regions, and communities, and bringing the UK to the world and the world to the UK. Similar social purposes are found in PSB systems of other countries. The PSB Charter for Ireland's Radio Telefisairn, RTA, includes among its guiding principles the democratic, social, and cultural values of Irish society. NZ On Air, the funding body for PSB in New Zealand, states as its mission to reflect and foster the development of New Zealand culture and identity through broadcasting on the air. This chapter discusses television rather than radio. Some of the arguments we present do not apply to the latter medium, since subscription is rarely used for radio. The practical choice is between public and advertising funding, and the latter gives rise to a number of market failures. Whether audience members will be efficient, whether the level of advertising is appropriate, and whether the right mix of programs in terms of diversity and quality of content will be produced. The second question relates to issues that go beyond the desires of the individual viewer. It encompasses two broad concerns. First, that some viewers do not necessarily choose what is in their own best interest to watch. Secondly, television viewing may have effects on the wider population that are ignored by the individual viewer. This is sometimes described as the citizen rationale for a PSB. The first concern might justify controls on the broadcasting of certain harmful content, especially to protect children, while the latter would provide a basis for intervention to promote socially beneficial programs and to restrict those causing social detriment. Let's examine the possible foundations of these concerns and their relevance in the modern broadcasting environment. The sector is changing enormously due to the adoption of digital technologies. Digital signals relax spectrum constraints, greatly increasing the number of channels that can be broadcast. Encryption technologies facilitate charging of viewers rather than just advertisers, making commercial broadcasters directly responsive to viewer demands. In addition, devices such as the personal video recorder, PVR, give viewers greater control over what they watch. These developments have critical and wide-ranging impacts on television broadcasting. In light of these developments, the rationale for public intervention needs to be re-examined. Regulation that was appropriate to the earlier analog era may become unnecessary and even undesirable in the digital world. Although everyone would presumably agree that the mission to inform, educate, and entertain is a highly laudable one, and in this sense supports public service broadcasting, it needs to be questioned whether public intervention is still required to fulfill these aims. Some form of market failure must lie at the heart of any concept of public service broadcasting. Beyond simply using the catchphrase that public service broadcasting must inform, educate, and entertain, we must add inform, educate, and entertain in a way which the private sector, left unregulated, would not do. Otherwise, why not leave matters entirely to the private sector? At the very least, these systems need to adapt to survive. This challenge calls for more innovative techniques to be used in reaching viewers if public service messages are to be conveyed. An alternative view is that, given declining benefits and major costs of intervention, the time has now arrived when wide-ranging intervention is no longer appropriate.